Well, my featured guest today, Arch Crawford, combines technical analysis with the planetary alignments, astronomical anomalies. Welcome back, Arch.
Delighted to be here.
What an interesting year, 2017. Financial markets are not becoming more dull, at least. What do you think about giving us an overview of what we've seen and where we might be next year?
Well, I have fairly complex cycle analysis. I said that we would go up sharply in November because all four of them were up. First one topped out on December 2nd, and the second one tops out January the 9th. Another one tops out near the end of January. So what I said was earlier that we would have a large rolling top most of December and January, and that by the end of January we'll be headed down. That could be actually any time within that period. I said that December 2nd would be the first possibility of a downside, and the next 4 days were down in the S&P. It was the first time the S&P had been down 4 days since last March. Now, actually, it did not go down by very much, but it was the first 4 days in a row down since March of this year. Then the second day, we said that a contact on December 17 could be an up market and potentially a short-term top. Now, the aspect of the cycle occurred on the 17th, which was a Sunday, and what happened was Bitcoin topped on Sunday, on the December 17th. So far, major market indices topped near the opening on Monday the 18th. So far, now it looks like they're attempting to turn back up, and we'll see if they'll be able to make it or not. Of course, this week that we are beginning right after Christmas is usually the best week of the year, or is often the best week of the year, and it's the best period of the normal yearly cycle, because I think it's reinvestment money affects the rise in the last few days. Either part of it is real investment money, and then the other is the traders reacting to their reinvestment money that will be coming in early January. But in either case, right now is a prime upside potential time. Now, I said that there are some difficulties in the short-term cycles, so that it may not be up very much, or it could actually drift off. Well, so far, it's been flat the last 3 days and up very small amount today. But it's continuing a flat period, but I'm looking for a rise into about the second cycle peak at January the 10th. We could have it could lean to the downside, and it still may hold up or actually go higher into the January 26th, 27th period. And after that, I'm saying we'll go down in the first quarter.
Essentially, all that Christmas bonus money flowing into investments as people try to chase the bubbles higher. And do we have bubbles? I think you touched on a few of them. What do you think about the precious metals? Do you think that, you know, we could finally get this rounding bottom that we've seen in the weekly charts on to send us into at least the 20s this year?
Well, let me say one other thing about the major stock indices, that the MACD momentum indicator gave sell signals 4 days ago in the SPX E-minis. And no, the SPX, the major S&P index, the Dow Jones index also 4 days ago, the NDX, which is the NASDAQ 100, gave that signal, MACD signal today as a negative. So we'll see if tomorrow will kick it back up, or if that will, that we have actually have turned down in any or all of these major indicators. And then on the gold, I watch the gold very closely, and I sort of follow the silver is doing pretty much the same thing. And I would look at the gold chart right now, and we are, it's been rising very nicely from 1240 to just short of 1300 today, but it is from a low support around 1250, and it went, it dipped a little below that to 1240, and since then it's been rising steadily, but right now it is getting back to the heavy resistance area between 1290 and 1310, which it has peaked in 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 times since the beginning of June, the last 6 months. So I would say that it will have more resistance unless it breaks solidly above the 1310, preferably the 1320. And then the last peak daily internal peak was about 1362, I think it was.
So if you were pressed on the issue back against the wall, would you feel solid on silver for 2018, or is it just too ambiguous right now?
The short-term picture is very ambiguous. I believe in the long-term picture of both silver and gold.
Let's move on to the bubble du jour, that mighty, mighty Bitcoin. You bring up this term and it brings up derision or excitement, euphoria. You know, we've got people calling both sides of this, calling for a minimum retracement to 8,000 minimum here, which the charts certainly are calling for, a nice 60 Fibonacci pullbacks from the 20,000 peak. But then we have other folks who are just proposing that this is a network phenomenon. And as you may remember, back in the late 1990s, they're trying to suggest that the email surge and the rise of the internet mirrors or parallels the Bitcoin phenomenon, where you might say technicals, at least during the mania stage, are tossed out the window. There really cannot be a pause, they say. This is the argument. What I'd like to hear is the experience, the wisdom, the sage advice of Arch Crawford on cryptocurrencies.
Well, this is a very complex issue right now, in that blow-off that we just experienced would normally be enough to top any reasonable advance. And yet, it still has greater potential, and I certainly don't want to put my money betting on that.
You actually can take Saturday's allowance over to a website called BitMEX. You can trade Bitcoin, Litecoin, and they give you anywhere from 1x leverage all the way up to 100. Imagine that someone just gave you a penny Bitcoin, $140, $150 worth, and you can trade a Bitcoin. I wouldn't recommend that leverage level, you know, more like 10 to 20. But even if you're just a longer-term investor, you can do 2 to 5-fold on your leverage. That gives you very low liquidation, meaning you'd have to drop to like 1,000, some just ridiculously low level. And if you did have them and you wanted to hedge, you could take Arch a tiny fraction, a dime of those Bitcoins, use maybe 20 leverage, 50 to 1 leverage. The odds of being knocked out, you know, it'd have to go into the 20,000s for you to be knocked out of your position, liquidated. You'd only be risking the tiniest fraction of your stash. Aren't manias fun, Arch, while they last?
My favorite book on markets in general and mass psychology in general is Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds.
Charles Mackay. Yeah, and you know that it's just one of the books of his magnum opus. You know, this Extraordinary Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. He only talks about markets in, I think, one of the smaller sections of the book.
Well, he did have the tulip mania and the
South Sea Bubble. And don't forget the Louisiana Purchase, the Mississippi Scheme by yours and my favorite Scotsman, John Law. One penny, Arch, just a few years ago in Bitcoin, to the current price, get this, is over a million-fold. People are doing anything they can to get out of dollars because it's a losing game. Now, it's hard for, I think, people to wrap their minds around this. It has nearly all the characteristics of gold. It really is, in my opinion, digital 2.0 gold. Contrast and compare the Weimar inflation, I want to say 22 to 23, and you put Bitcoin in just the last year or two, when Bitcoin was at 7,500, the price of marks relative to dollars at 7,500.
Well, I remember even in the South Sea Bubble, one of the smartest men that has ever lived got in, and he nice little chunk of money and got out. It kept going up and up.
And bought it at the top. It's a famous story. I don't know if it's true or not. I think I quoted in Wealth Building Strategies. But his niece, this is a direct quote, Uncle Newton never much cared to discuss the South Sea bubble. He was the Treasury Exchequer, Arch. This is the guy who prints money for the royal aristocracy. You want to know how smart he was? I know you know all this because you're also a fan of mathematical history and physics history. Just to give you an idea on how bright this guy was, he had absolutely a distaste for any type of physical congress, okay? So I won't go any further into that. I mean, he couldn't stand being around anyone. He had a roommate for a brief period of time. That didn't work out well. Of course, this was during the time, I believe, during the plague. Okay, so you could imagine in a room with a roaring fireplace, guess what rats hate? Fire. Guess what carries the plague? Fleas on rodents, a very specific Northern European rodent. I'm of the belief he, like Nostradamus, he figured out by grinding up rose hips or just rose flowers, it pumped your system full of what? An immune boost from vitamin C. And he never could contract it. And everyone he gave it to early recovered. Well, I think Newton figured this out too. And I mean, he was just too bright. And as you know, he was an alchemist. In fact, doing Bible codes. Somehow he managed to simultaneously create integral calculus. But as the famous quote says, but I cannot fathom the madness of crowds. My humble dissertation, which the conclusion I came to was that you cannot beat the trend. And Arch is like, we knew that 50 years ago, Chris. But I mean, I had to prove it using modern statistical methods. Can you make a case that people who don't have a lot of exposure, maybe a tiny little bit of Bitcoin, might be glad they have it in the next 2 to 4 years?
I don't know any way to tell at this point. But there are people who are very substantial who are warning against the dollar, significant declines in the dollar, which I believe could happen. So it doesn't matter what you're in. If you're in soybeans, when the dollar goes down, you will have something substantial that would not suffer as much, or it might even come out ahead of the game if you have a pile of real stuff somewhere or a farm that continued to develop.
I started mining. I got a little bored with it. And 8 years ago, six or seven years ago, and you know, we moved 4 times since then. So I finally found the hard drives. And it's an encrypted password. So there are some folks who can extract it. I actually am doing that on the side. I already had my first customer, helped him get back 10 Bitcoin gold. The low ball estimate is 10% of the current market cap, which is 1.7 million Bitcoins lost. But I'm sure you've heard the story where two pizzas were sold for 10,000 Bitcoins. That was the first transaction. Those are all gone. From what we can tell, $50 to $100 billion are likely in garbage depots right now. We've even come up with a little funny little futuristic anecdote that there will be androids and AI searching through dumpsters for old hard drives and iPhones and Android phones.
His was now worth like $400,000, and the hard drive had been thrown in the trash, and that he was going to go out into the garbage dump and start digging around of the last 4 years.
I've reclaimed several laptops that were thrown away. That's all I can say right now, and I haven't hit the jackpot yet. But you know, it only takes once. Do you think it's possible that this might portend the end of fiat money? Could this be maybe a warning salvo that something new is coming to the financial world?
Of course it could. Well, the thing is, the very real danger that the fiat currencies come under much greater pressure in the next 2 or 3 years, I think that's a fairly reasonable assumption.
I don't know if you're familiar, but Coinbase, you know, went from just a few thousand Bitcoin accounts. That's the largest one, one of the largest here in the U.S. Very safe, by the way, for our listeners who are just starting out. We have a lot of new listeners who are interested in cryptos. Coinbase is now signing up hundreds of thousands a week of new folks. So we think we're probably looking at about 3 million people in the U.S., 3 to 5 million now have access. That's a huge leap. Worldwide, maybe 10 to 15 million. There's 150 million folks who have exposure to U.S. equities in this country. What happens just when 3 to 5 million becomes 30 to 50 million Bitcoin holders. You know, that network law, you have to take the exponential, the number of wallets, and multiply it and apply it to the price. Could we see Bitcoin maybe stall and then see similar bubbles? You know, that's the funny thing about bubbles. There's a contagious aspect to them. Might we see this contagion spread, become a pandemic, and impact other similar markets like the precious metals?
I am avoiding making predictions about that because it is exceedingly powerful and yet exceedingly dangerous. So play with your little money and don't bet the farm.
I think that's sage advice. In other words, if you have some Bitcoin, like we said, go to BitMEX. Don't risk anything. And if you're right, you know, you get the benefit. If you're wrong, well, you just move on to the next trade and you forget all about it and you get to sleep at night. All right, great advice. If you had to pick a market or a sector this year, care to give us an idea of what'll really be maybe the Bitcoin of next year?
One of these days we're going to have another 1000 to 2002 or 07, 08. The best bets at that time will be, you know, options on the downside.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking in true Talebian fashion, right? He's the one who I really agree with. He says keep 90 to 95% of your wealth, you know, somewhere safe and liquid, good is safer than cash. And the rest, if you want to speculate, look for those out-of-the-money options so you don't risk more than a tenth of 1% or half of 1%. And I agree with you, Arch. I mean, can you imagine the type of downside we're going to see when U.S. equities peak? But when things roll over, what I'd love to see is just sort of a nice rolling top, which I don't think we're getting this time.
How the politics play out, because the people who like Trump will be trying to hold the market up.
What would be intriguing would be to have a crystal ball here and see whether or not Mnuchin would support the person who helped him get into power and prop up these markets, similar to Paulson, you might say, you know, circa 2007, 2008. Because Paulson was, as you recall, ex-Goldman. Pretty much everyone at the helm there was, with the exception of the Fed head at the time, Bernanke. Obviously, at some point, the euphoria over these supposed tax cuts and related relief may subside. And when it does, more level-headed thinking might impact these markets. And will they have the firepower, the political willpower?
General public is unaware of the dangers in our economic and political structures. And there may come a time in the next year or two or three or four where things become seriously, more seriously than we're used to thinking about, disproportionately.
Another quick question here for you. You know, you obviously stay so sharp as we advance in years. This is really important information. We like to help people, you know, stay on top of the successful health remedies, trends. And I'd really like any tips and advice that you have. Like, how has Arch Crawford remained in sort of a static state for so long?
My wife has studied with some of the best herbalists in the country. She has, I think, added to my possibilities, but my father died at 92. My mentor in astrology died in 96, and my mentor in Wall Street died at 102. So I feel that I'd like to stay in business and up to the last week, as Joe Granville and Richard Russell did at 90 and 91.
Do you suspect that it's the passion that people have for these markets, the excitement? You know, every day you wake up, it's a new challenge. There's new information. There's breaking news. There's always topicality.
The main thing I think all these people had in common was that they loved what they did.
Isn't that key? And you know, the other thing you'll find is, I listened to a really brilliant public speaker. He actually is from North Carolina. Just won't bore you with the details, but he couldn't get into school, couldn't pay his bills, had absolutely nothing. And now he's earning several hundred million a year and living Beverly Hills and has a retreat. Ty Lopez, highly recommend him for anybody who's just middle class or working class and trying to become successful. But he had an interesting thing. He reads a book a day, and he came to the conclusion that the more convinced an investor is when you meet them about a topic, the less successful those people tend to be. He said every successful, intelligent millionaire that he has ever met, no matter their status in life, where they came from, who they are, who they know, invariably listens to what you have to say and rarely ever offers any input. Elon Musk, for instance, he met Elon Musk at a conference, and Elon Musk picked his brains for 15 minutes and then said, well, I disagree with you, but I do wish you the best of luck, and just walked away. Again, beware, folks, of this show or any other information source where people are absolutely convinced they know where the markets are heading.
Another famous person, Charles Darwin, said, it's not the intelligence.
I mean, look at these islands. I don't know if you're familiar, but they're finding islands now in the South Pacific with pygmy elephants. Were you to place an enormous elephant on any of these islands, according to the biologists and scientists and their research, within one generation, they would all starve. But these pygmy elephants have lived comfortably and had a nice existence simply due to the fact that they happened to be on the small side, and evolution favored the adaptiveness of the bell curve, which, as you know, parents really get kids like themselves, right? Because of the bell curve, the natural selection allows for anomalies. And those neat little anomalies sometimes fill the void of adaptiveness. Eugenics really picked up Darwin, didn't they? The horrible National Socialists of the last century. And they picked up Darwin and they just corrupted his thinking. He would be rolling in his grave, would he not? I mean, what is this nonsense about survival of the fittest? As Arch says, it's survival of the most adaptive. In other words, those who can fill their niche.
Same price it was in 1977, $250 a year, $140 for half a year. We do make allowances for a trial for less. If you've never seen one before, we don't like to give that to people who know what it is. Crawford is the easiest way to find it, because Crawford Perspectives at earthlink.net has got a lot of letters in it.
Type in Arch Crawford, you're going to find him. Don't worry, we've got the links all up there for everybody. You can click to your heart's content till the mouse button breaks. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to hearing more of these great thoughts in 2018.
Okay, will do. Bye-bye.